With Montana News, I'm Cole Grant. A judge says he will not open to the public the long-running secret negotiations on the cleanup of the nation's largest Superfund site. Yesterday, U.S. District Judge Sam Haddon denied the Montana Standard and Silver Bow Creek Headwaters Coalition's request to intervene in the case between the Environmental Protection Agency and Atlantic Richfield Company. The government sued ARCO in 1989 over the cleanup of a century's worth of mine waste from the water and soil of the copper-rich Butte Hill. Haddon himself ordered confidential settlement talks in 2002 and 2003. The newspaper and the advocacy group had argued the public has a right to know what decisions are being made. Haddon says the request comes 13 years too late, and the public will be able to comment on the settlement once it's reached. Montana authorities want to put convicted murderer Barry Beach back in prison after he was granted clemency by the governor last year. Department of Justice officials filed a court petition today seeking to revoke Beach's suspended sentence. Beach is accused of violating his probation by allegedly stalking a Billings woman whom he says is the mother of his son. Beach was originally sentenced to 100 years in prison for the 1979 death of 17-year-old Kim Neese. Governor Steve Bullock granted Beach clemency in November of 2015 after the Poplar Man served more than 30 years in prison for the murder. Beach attorney Tim Baldwin says he expects his client to be exonerated, but if probation is revoked, Baldwin says a judge would decide whether Beach would go back to prison or face additional conditions for probation. The U.S. House has approved a water rights settlement with the Blackfeet Tribe as a part of a broader bill addressing water projects across the nation. Today's passage sends the measure back to the Senate. The bill proposes to rehabilitate the Four Horns Dam and Blackfeet Irrigation Project and make other improvements on the Blackfeet Reservation. It has a $420 million price tag. However, money for the settlement was not included in the bill and will have to be addressed separately. Negotiations on the agreement began more than 30 years ago. It was approved by the Montana legislature in 2009. Prior attempts failed to advance the settlement through Congress. The Obama administration objected to its original price tag of $591 million. The State Department of Transportation is delaying requests for bids on nearly $145 million in road construction projects until May, due to a budget shortfall that could put the funding for the projects in jeopardy. The project would be paid for with $130 million in federal money, plus a little more than $14 million from the state. The Montana Infrastructure Coalition is proposing to raise the state's 27-cent per gallon fuel tax by a dime. That would generate an estimated $80 million. Budget Director Dan Villa says the governor is open to discussing a fuel tax increase, but is not advocating for it. Republican House Speaker Austin Knutson speculated that discussion of the road project delays and a proposed 10% cut to the Montana Highway Patrol were timed to pressure Republicans into increasing the fuel tax. The University of Montana will host a public forum about who will be the next UM president. The forum will be held next Tuesday at 5:15 p.m. at the University Center on campus. An effort by Democratic leadership to get some so-called silver bullet bills this legislative session, like they had in 2015, was denied by Republicans this week in a Rules Committee. Corin Cates Carney reports.
The term silver bullet was created in the 2015 session to describe the process of moving legislation from a committee onto the House floor with a simple majority vote. It usually takes a supermajority, which makes it easier for the majority party to block bills they don't like. During a Rules Committee meeting Wednesday, House Democratic Minority Leader Jenny Eck hoped to change that. Eck wants any simple majority to be able to move legislation onto the House floor.
A majority wants a bill to pass, they should have that opportunity, and we shouldn't use strategic tricks to keep bills from passing when that's what the majority wants.
But Republican Representative Jeff Essman, who serves as chair of this year's House Rules Committee, says the supermajority requirement is necessary for efficiency in the legislature.
Because the experience had been bills that had been tabled in committees were getting blasted out with simple majorities and then ending up, you know, being debated on the floor and then killed.
Last session, the Democratic minority reached an agreement with moderate Republicans to allow select pieces of legislation to pass out of committee with a simple majority. It was by using a so-called silver bullet that Montana's Medicaid expansion got out of committee and eventually became law. No such agreement between Democrats and Republicans has been made yet this year. The Rules Committee for the legislative session will meet again in the first days of January, when lawmakers will officially adopt the rules for the 2017 session. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
A 22-year-old Evergreen woman has been sentenced to 5 years in custody for her role in the death of her 2-year-old son. Takara Juntunen was sentenced today after pleading guilty to felony mitigated negligent homicide for the February 2015 death of Forrest Groeschel. The Daily Interlake reports Juntunen thanked District Judge Heidi Ulbricht for recommending drug treatment as a part of her sentence. Juntunen had previously admitted that she was negligent in leaving her son in the care of her boyfriend and that she did not seek medical care for the boy, who suffered a blow to the abdomen and died. Brandon Newberry is serving a 40-year prison sentence for mitigated deliberate homicide. North Dakota regulators say winter weather is affecting cleanup of a, quote, significant pipeline break that leaked crude oil into a tributary of the Little Missouri River. State environmental scientist Bill Cease says a landowner discovered the spill Monday near Belfield in western North Dakota. Cease says the cause is under investigation and the amount of the spill is unknown. He says the spill migrated about 2.5 miles from the spill site along Ash Coulee Creek. Cease says the spill appears to be contained and no drinking water sources were affected. The pipeline is operated by Belle Fouche Pipeline, which is part of Wyoming-based True Companies. True Companies was responsible for the pipeline break that spilled an estimated 30,000 barrels of crude into the Yellowstone River near Glendive last January. The company that co-owns and operates the Colstrip Power Plant has been sold. The sale of Talon Energy to Riverstone Holdings for $1.8 billion was completed Tuesday. Talon previously sent notice to the other owners of the coal-fired power plant that it wants out as operator by mid-2018. The future of the plant, which provides power to much of the Pacific Northwest, has been in question amid low coal prices, increasing federal regulations, and environmental lawsuits. Talon and Puget Sound Energy of Washington State plan to shut down two of the plant's four units by the year 2022. For Montana Public Radio, I'm Cole Grant. Thanks for listening.